It was funny, I was listening to Catherine just conclude the children's sermon, and Catherine, if you can hear me, no offense, but I could hear my mother saying something about transforming my room when we got home from church. So Lou read Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that sounds simple enough, but what does that really mean? Good morning. For the past 2 months, we've been on a new journey together. Pastor Eugene has been appointed to serve us, to lead us, and to love us. And he's done that with total devotion. And one of the cool things about Pastor Eugene is his ability to use technology. And at this service, you can't really see because he's up here, but at 9, he's down right in front of the pews, and you can see him as he uses his iPad to guide him through his message notes. Well, Pastor, today I'm going to show you how it's really done by using the original iPad. So let's begin with prayer. If you're familiar with the prayer to the Holy Spirit, I would ask that you would speak it aloud. Please bow your heads. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The book Play the Ball Where the Monkey Drops It by Gregory Jens is titled after a golf strategy developed in colonial India. The British had occupied India and brought golf as a leisure time activity. However, they found as when they played the round, they found the monkey would inevitably race onto the course, grab a ball, and in the scramble that ensued, the ball would end up in some other location. So they created a rule that says, play the ball where the monkey drops it. Now, I assume that this was also where the phrase monkey business came from, so I Googled that phrase, and I found that it is a Bengali phrase that the English did assimilate during the British occupation of India. Now, what Gregory Jones is actually writing about is dealing with the obstacles that arise as we live our lives trying to move from point A to point B. Now, in his book, he discusses the creation story from Genesis. He quotes the Bible as it lists each thing that was created with the concluding statement from God that it was good. Now, Gregory notes that there was only one creation which God did not follow with that phrase, and that creation is man. Gregory goes on to explain that he believes what God meant when he said it was good was actually that he meant it was complete, that each creation was complete in itself. But that man was not created complete because we were created to be in fellowship with God. And so, unlike the other creations, we must make a journey in faith to become complete. Now, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Eugene asked me if I would deliver the message today. And so I began doing what I always do when I'm invited to preach. I began to pray. I prayed that God would place his words in my head, in my heart, and in my mouth, so that it would be his message that you would hear today and not my message. Now, it may be hard for some of you to believe this, but I actually have some very strong opinions on a variety of subjects. And if you don't believe me, just ask my wife. Right, babe? But worship is about God, and it's not about Dale. And so I pray, and I wait for God to speak to me. Now, we talk about meditation. We talk about reading the Bible and to sit and meditate in silence to wait on God for his still small voice. Well, being still is really hard for me. Anybody identify with that? Yeah, okay. Now, ultimately, God does speak to me. Most times, it's in the setting where I have to make a choice to stop what I'm doing and to respond in some way. Usually, that involves grabbing every scrap of paper I can find to write down the thoughts that he has unloaded into my mind. And I say unloaded because when it's with God, it's always a big conversation. So about 11 days ago, I woke up at 3:30. I tried to go back to bed, but I had the idea for this sermon and a number of words and phrases that were just bouncing around my mind. And so finally, about 5 a.m., I got out of bed and I began to put those thoughts on paper, actually on a Word doc. I wrote a good 3 pages or so of what I wanted to say, or perhaps it was what I thought God wanted me to say. Now, I happened to be out of town at the time, so when I got home that evening, I checked my email and I found one from Pastor Eugene, which outlined the sermon titles for the next 2 months. Now, if you've ever recognized that God moment in your life, then you will understand the shock and the awe that I felt when I saw that his sermon title for next week was actually going to be, that my sermon today would actually be a prelude for that sermon. God is good. Okay, we're going to start this again. This is God Speak 101. When somebody says God is good, the response is all the time. So, God is good?
All the time.
All the time?
God is good.
Okay, amen. So that leads us to today's message. Confirmation. Transformation. What does it mean to be conformed? What does it mean to be transformed? We've all heard the sermons about being conformed, about being transformed, becoming new creations, being reborn. But what does it all mean? Between self-help and theology, there is a lot of pages written about being conformed and about being transformed. But in order for me to understand it enough to speak on it today, I had to dumb it down for myself. So I went out to Google and I typed the word conform. Conform, verb, to comply with rules or standards or laws. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we speak about being conformed to God's will. In other words, to be in compliance with his will. But what is God's will? And why do we want to do God's will? Is God's will different for each of us? Well, the answer to that last question is yes and no. So is God's will different for each of us? Well, I think in terms of what God wants for us as we relate to him, I think the answer is definitely no. That God wants each of us to enter into a relationship of love, of respect, and of obedience with him as our Heavenly Father. But in terms of what God wants for us as we relate to the world and we relate to each other, I think the answer is yes, it is different. See, God has given each of us different strengths, different weaknesses, different spiritual gifts. And I believe he's done this so that we're able to interact with one another in a manner that allows us to reflect his grace through those relationships and through our actions. In Mark 3, verse 35, Jesus tells us, "Whoever does God's will is my brother, and my sister, and my mother." So we conform to God's will to become one with our Savior. We read many scriptures, and Jesus offers us many parables describing God as the Father who is drawing his children to himself. The Father who continually searches for the children that are lost and runs to embrace them when they make the decision to come home for Him. What we don't realize is that before we make that decision, we are already under God's prevenient grace. The prevenient grace is the grace that He gives before we know Him. It's like the wooing period in a courtship. If you've ever watched any of the old black and white romantic movies, it's that period where the boy pursues the girl, trying to convince her that he is the one for her. Then we find God, and we come under justifying grace. We are justified. In other words, in God's eyes, we become just as if I'd never sinned. So let me repeat that. To be justified is to become just as if I'd never sinned. This is the point where we become a new creation. We may look at ourselves and see our flaws and our imperfection, but that's not what God sees. And many of us carry heavy baggage that we can't let go of or we're afraid to let go of. We've all heard the term, lay it at the cross. We've all heard the term, let go and let God. But the problem is that we covet that baggage. We covet our sins. And we do that because there's comfort in being who we know we are and fear in being who we're designed to be. Now, we may actually leave something at the cross, but inevitably, many of us go back to pick it up and hold it for a while because there's comfort. The problem with this behavior is that it is an obstacle to God's grace in our lives. It blocks us from conforming to His will. It's an obstacle to receiving the full measure of God's grace that He intends for each of us to experience. Now, conforming in the biblical context implies acceptance and response. We recognize those areas in our lives that we need to change so that we can be in a deeper relationship with God. Then we accept those limitations and we begin to own the responsibility for changing them. And finally, we take action to make the changes to be part of who we are. But how do we do this? Well, friends, Jesus calls us to be His disciples. But what does it mean to be a disciple? Simply stated, a disciple is devoted to a teacher. Now, this devotion is characterized by three phases, not necessarily in any order. Remember, we're all equipped with different skills and gifts, but this order fits in my mind. First, we give our hearts to God through prayer. Second, we give our minds to God through study. Now, if you're like me and you only remember two things from the last 8 weeks' sermons that Pastor Eugene has given, you will remember that he has encouraged us weekly to begin a daily regimen of reading the Bible and praying. Now, the final item to discipleship is the giving of our physical body, that is, our hands and our feet and our mouths. And we give them to God through Christian action. This may be as simple as opening a door or speaking a kind word, holding somebody's hand. Or it may be as complicated as doing an overseas mission trip. So to be conformed then is to be preparing ourselves to receive God's grace and to perform His will. So now I'm attempting to conform to God's will through study, through prayer, and through action. But why would God have us do all this work when He can simply speak the words and conform us to His will? Well, John chapter 1, verse 14 gives us a little insight into that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus became flesh because of God's desire for an intimate relationship with us. And Jesus creates that link that reinforces for us that God knows who we are, that God knows what drives us, that God knows what causes us pain, and that God knows what brings joy to us. Well, what happens next? Well, I believe that as we continue to transform ourselves, that God will transform our minds, our hearts, and our bodies so that we can continue this journey. And that leads us to the next question. What does it mean to be transformed? Transform, verb, to make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character. Through the journey of discipleship, we become more deeply rooted in our relationship with God. And this relationship is a gift that God offers and delivers to us. Through this gift of relationship, God strengthens us to do His will. But with greater gifts and strength also comes greater responsibility. And so we need to continue this journey in faith. In other words, we give to God our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. Through this offering of ourselves, God then transforms our character. This allows us to more deeply and openly to give God our hearts, our minds, and our bodies, which He then takes and transforms our characters again more deeply. So to be conformed is part of the transformation process. But we need to remember that the process is a journey and that it is not a destination. I cannot tell you when you've arrived at the end of that journey. I don't have an answer for a question that big. But I can tell you that by continually working to be conformed to God's will, that He will place us in situations where He is able to transform the lives of those around us, because we have offered ourselves as a living sacrifice through the act of discipleship to show His love, to show His peace, and to show His understanding. And we show those to those who come across us in our journeys, those who are disheartened, those who are disenfranchised, those who are downtrodden, those who are lost, those who are lonely. Now, there is a conflict that exists here, and that is that the conforming part of this process involves an inward focus. I am preparing myself. But the goal of the process is an outward focus, to participate in the harvest. In Matthew 9, verse 37, Jesus tells the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." I believe that the workers are few because we choose to do other things instead of preparing ourselves for the harvest. Have you ever had an opportunity to give God's grace to another, but missed it, only to realize after the opportunity had slipped past? I've done this too many times. The reason I've done this is that I have not taken the time to prepare myself as a disciple. I haven't prepared myself to enter the vineyard for the harvest. I was too busy. I was too tired. I was untrusting. I had somewhere else I had to be. Well, they're all legitimate reasons. Where are they? Now, I thank God for the men and women who defend our freedom because they've chosen to answer the call. Their actions shout, "Not on my watch." As a follower of Jesus Christ, am I any less of a soldier? Is my responsibility to God, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, and to all those I meet on my journey of any less importance? Now, I know many of us come to this place to hear the answers to the pains and the obstacles that we face in our lives. But it is my hope today that you will not depart here with answers, but instead that you will depart with questions, and that you will undertake or perhaps begin anew your journey to answer those questions. The answers are within reach for each of us. They're right here in God's Word. We can find them on our knees, and we can find them on both sides of these walls as we use our hands and our feet and our words. To make this journey of transformation, you must first decide to do so. What will you decide? Please join me in prayer. Father God, please lead us in this journey that we may be conformed to your will and be transformed into your likeness, so that others may hear you in our speech and see you in our actions and know that you are Lord. We pray this in the name of your most precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.